Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Here.
Commissioner Placer?
Here.
Commissioner Ford?
Here.
Commissioner Wilson?
Here.
Commissioner Lowe?
Here.
Commissioner Stanton?
Here.
Commissioner Dunn?
Here.
Commissioner McMahon?
Present.
I'm here. We have nine. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Are there any changes or adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Zinner?
No, there are not, ma'am.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve was made by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Thumbs up approval of the minutes, or of the agenda, sorry. Unanimous. Thank you. We all received a copy of the April 4th, 2024 regular meeting minutes. Are there any changes or adjustments to the minutes?
Move to approve.
Second.
Approval was moved by Commissioner McMahon and seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Thumbs up approval on the minutes. We're unanimous with Commissioner Wilson abstaining. Excellent. Our first case for the evening, case number 127-2024, a request by Engineering Surveys and Services on behalf of Jeffrey E. Smith Investment Company, LLC, are seeking approval of a revised four-lot preliminary plat of MN Mixed Use Neighborhood Zone property to be known as lots 2A, 3A, 3B, and 3C of Gentry Estates 2. The proposed preliminary plat represents a revision to the lots 2 and 3 of the 2012 preliminary plat entitled Gentry Estates Plat 1. The approximately 13.17-acre subject site is located southwest of the intersection of West Nifong Boulevard and Aurora Drive. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, you may. Yeah, so as you mentioned, this is going to be a preliminary plat of two existing lots, which are lots 2 and 3 of Gentry Estates presently, and it's going to be four new lots to be named lots 2A, 3A, 3B, and 3C of Gentry Estates 2. It's going to be 13.17 acres of land. It's zoned MN. Early notification postcards were sent on the 5th of April regarding this preliminary plat and this hearing. This is just some aerial imagery for some spatial orientation. To the south of the site is Gentry Middle School. To the east is the roundabout of Aurora Drive and Nova Way. Aurora Drive's running north-south there. And to the west is Gentry Estates, as mentioned before, which was a PUD as part of the original PD, which these lots were also in. And this site is bound to the north by Nifong Boulevard. This slide's just a larger image of the proposed preliminary plat. You can see all four of the lots they're proposing, lot 2A in the northwest corner, and then 3C in the northeast corner, in the southeast corner, 3B, and then 3A in the southwest corner. So, as mentioned before, it's a four-lot preliminary plat, and lots would all be between 2.8 and 4.3 acres in size. They're all zoned MN right now. This site was part of the Gentry Estates PD until its rezoning in 2019, where it was rezoned to MN. This MN's district would still allow construction of multifamily residential facilities similar to those that exist to the west for the Gentry Estates PUD. And some notes about these lots. The plat indicates that 3B in the southeast corner is not intended for development. Additionally, lots 3C and 2A, which front Nifong, would be able to have direct access, driveway access to Nifong, as they're greater than 300 feet in width of frontage on Nifong. Access and frontage on the other two lots will be provided via Simon Drive, which is going to be paved on a cross-access easement. And that's what's illustrated here on this slide. So the Simon Drive would be in this cross-access easement, like I mentioned. It would be 50 feet in width, as indicated on the plat. The private drive would be built within this. It would provide access and frontage for lots 3A, 3C, and 3B. It would also connect to an easement on the western edge of the site, which currently provides access for Gentry Estates, and the roundabout with Aurora on the eastern edge of this site. The width of this cross-access easement is consistent with the cross-access easement that was provided for Gentry Estates PUD amendment in 2015. This was amended in 2015. Originally, the access was going to be provided via a private drive in the northeast corner of the site for the PUD. This was later amended. They decided it would be more advantageous to connect to Bethel on the western edge of the site. and have a driveway which loops around and connects into the parking facility that presently exists for this area. Concurrent with the rezoning of the subject acreage out of PD in 2019, a new development agreement was adopted, which superseded the original 2012 development agreement. Since this private drive would be consistent with proposed development patterns, as indicated by the PD prior to it rezoning out of it, a cross-access easement would be appropriate on this site, and this would allow access and frontage for these lots, which make them meet the subdivision standards for lot arrangement and access per 29-5.1F of the UDC. This cross-access easement, furthermore, would not jeopardize or compromise public health, safety, or general welfare. A little bit more information about the cross-access easement. Other easements being dedicated on the site, Simon Drive, as mentioned, 50 feet in width, 30 feet of this would be paved. 10 feet on both sides of this would be for utility installation. Furthermore, sidewalks are illustrated on the southern side of Simon Drive on this plat, and they would connect with sidewalks that will be constructed on the eastern edge of Aurora Drive here. And future sidewalks will be constructed upon lot development, which is noted in note 6 on the prelim plat. A 15-foot utility easement is also being dedicated between lots 3B and 3A, which you can see running east-west. I guess this is rotated 90 degrees. And the water main is also being extended through this easement, and it's going to reach the southern edge of lot 3. And then a 16-foot storm sewer easement will be dedicated entirely within lot 2A. As the image shows, it's the southernmost, I guess, according to this, but it's actually the westernmost. So after a review of the preliminary plat by staff and external agencies, it's found to be compliant with the standards and provisions of the UDC. Access and frontage is provided to all lots on the site through the aforementioned cross-access easement. This cross-access easement is consistent with existing development patterns of the PD, which the site used to be zoned, and all necessary utility easements and improvements have been shown on the plat. Ultimately, it is staff's recommendation to the commission to approve the preliminary plat of Gentry Estates 2, subject to technical corrections. And I'd be happy to answer any questions y'all may have.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties outside of a public hearing, please let me know now. Seeing none, questions for staff. Commissioner Lowe?
Just clarification. The report, and I think you stated this, but I just wanted, like I said, clarification. The report identifies that lots 2A and 3C have the frontage width to have access off of Nifong, but all the lots are going to be accessed off of Simon, correct?
All of them would have access to Simon, would have the opportunity, but this, I believe, would mean they also have the opportunity to have access to Nifong via a driveway. Access to both would be possible.
Okay.
For those lots.
So they could still have driveway access on Nifong?
I believe so.
Yes, that is correct. They have the ability, they would be, unless otherwise restricted, and lot 2A may have a restriction of a right-in, right-out only, given where the medians are located in the reconstructed alignment of Nifong. There is a three-quarter turn pocket provided at the common property line between 2A and 3C. That was incorporated as a part of the Nifong construction project. So, again, the minimum 300-foot spacing or 300-foot lot width requirement of the UDC has been met. Therefore, based upon available access standards that we have, they would be able to have individual driveways. Permitting onto Nifong is a city function, and therefore it would be reviewed for an encroachment permit and driveway access prior to or concurrently with the plan submission for the development of these sites. Simon Drive and the existing access easement to the west is, while it functions, it may function as a secondary access point, depending on how the development of these sites along the Nifong corridor are presented. That driveway or access may not necessarily be as beneficial. The driveway extension to the east of the Aurora roundabout is essential to gain access to 3A and 3B. And furthermore, it is needed in order to ensure proper circulation ultimately over time with the developments of the frontage, the two parcels that front on Denifong, for through circulation to get back to the signalized intersection, especially if there is a restricted left-hand turning movement. The only way you're going to be able to get back to head westbound on Nifong is either to go to the intersection, the signalized intersection at Aurora and Nifong, or go back to Bethel and Nifong. That would be utilizing the cross-access easement.
Thank you.
Any other questions for staff? Commissioner McMahon.
Just a quick one, follow up on Commissioner Lowe's line of questioning. They wouldn't have to decide whether they want access at the time of the final plat. It would just be a permitting time. Is that correct?
That is correct. The development code, the Unified Development Code, has minimum access standards on replatted property, stipulating that anything that is less than 300 feet, lots with less than 300 feet on particular classes of roadways must share a driveway. Anything that is over 300 feet is automatically eligible through the permitting process to obtain an encroachment permit. Now, there's a caveat associated with that, given how the reconstruction of Nifong occurred in this particular area. I don't have the details to whatever access restrictions may have been agreed to at that time. The development agreement that was renegotiated in 2019 had criteria within it as it related to the Aurora and Nova Way construction, and I believe as a part of that it may have also granted some access rights along the corridor as reconstructed. I don't have that agreement in front of me, and I can't speak to that specifically.
All right, I was just going down a technical rabbit hole. Thank you, Mr. Zenner.
Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open public hearing. Please come forward, state your name and address for the record. We allow for 6 minutes for groups and 3 minutes for individuals.
Good evening. My name is Matthew Caridi. I'm with Engineering Surveys and Services, offices at 1113 Fay Street. Again, I think staff gave a pretty good summary of the project here. Again, from an access point, just stress there's been that three-quarter access there, and it's actually been constructed as part of Nifong. I think anything other than right in, right out would unlikely be supported by any sort of traffic study or staff anywhere else along Nifong as well. So you wouldn't see anything more than that. But in terms of contemplations right now, you know, anything other than that three-quarter access, I wouldn't expect much. Otherwise, I'd be happy to answer any questions you all may have.
Any questions, Commissioner Placer?
Yeah. What are the visions for the development of those three lots?
I mean, currently the only plan is Gentry Estates Phase 3. So it'll be similar to the other two buildings you see there, which will be located on lot 3A.
Any other questions? Oh, Commissioner Wilson.
Just a curiosity. One of the diagrams that we have shows a private sanitary line. I'm wondering if that interacts with this space and if there's any impact.
That was over here, private, or one of the exhibits you showed, okay. Was it on the preliminary plat or was it one of the colored diagrams?
It's one of the colored diagrams, okay. Yep. The last one, number three.
Oh, private. I believe that's contained on the school's property and goes into the public main. I believe that's what you see. It's kind of running along the very southern property here. Yeah, that's not going to bother us at all.
It terminates.
I believe it actually extends. It's covered by the red line you see underneath there that boxes the site out. That line is on the very, very southern parcel and extends into the public main. If you see the dash line crossing diagonally on the site there, it actually extends and ties into that. If you really zoom in on our preliminary plat, you'll see that sanitary sewer line on there, actually. But yeah, we're aware of that, and you know, we're not going to do anything that disturbs it. I believe it's a sewer lateral that serves Gentry Middle School.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public who wishes to speak on this case? Seeing none, we will close public hearing and go to commissioner comments. Are there any commissioner comments? Seeing none, would anyone like to make a motion? Commissioner Dunn.
Go back to the screen, please. In the matter of Gentry Estates 2 preliminary plat, case number 127-2024, I move to approve the lots 2A, 3A, 3B, and 3C, Gentry Estates 2 preliminary plat, subject to technical corrections.
Second.
Approval was moved by Commissioner Dunn, seconded by Commissioner McMahon. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, when you're ready, could we have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
Yes.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Dunn?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. We have 9 votes to approve. The motion carries.
Thank you. That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. Moving on to public hearings, case number 126-2024, a request by Crockett Engineering on behalf of Spirits of Columbia Properties, LLC, for approval of a major PD plan and statement of intent revision to the McAdoodles CP plan. Seeking approval to convert an unused on-site sign located on the northwest corner of the property to an off-premises sign location for the exclusive use of Lot 2 of Providence South Plaza Plat 2, which is presently occupied by Tacos for Life. The revised PD plan will be known as McAdoodles PD Plan Revision Number 1. The approximately 1.73-acre subject site is located at the northeast corner of South Providence Road and East Green Meadows Road and is addressed as 455 East Green Meadows Road. May we please have a staff report?
Yes, ma'am. As we have said, we are looking at a major plan development plan revision for the McDoodle site, which is Lot 1 of Providence South Plaza, not Plata, Plaza Plat 2. And it is to deal with a sign amendment. Given that this is a major revision, it does require not only the plan to be revised, it also required the updating of our statement of intent for compliance purposes with the 2017 UDC. Property owner letters were distributed on 4-5. The advertisement for this particular property in the Tribune was on 4-2, and the property was posted on 4-1. So an oblique aerial of the property. Many of you are probably familiar with this location. The McAdoodles is there in the southeast corner of the build of the lot, and the gas station canopy for Shell Gas is there in the upper right-hand or left-hand corner, I apologize, in the northwest corner. You will notice the green space that is north of the canopy. That green space that is north of the canopy is the unused on-premise sign location associated with the McAdoodles development. We'll get into a close view of the actual parcel itself. Development surrounding this is generally commercial in nature, along the Providence corridor and to the west and south. To the southeast is Tacos for Life, which is on Lot 2 of the Providence Plaza Providence South Plaza Plat 2 plat. It was originally part of the parent parcel that McAdoodles is part of. And then, of course, further to the south of Green Meadows is more commercial. And then in the very lower right-hand corner of this graphic is Christian Chapel, which is a church. So, as I said, the diagram that you see on the left of your screen is actually the proposed update to the McAdoodles site plan. There are the big red circle is the location there in the northwest corner of the property where the unused on-premise advertising sign was permitted to be located. The two green circles represent a gas station price board in the center of the property, and then the principal McAdoodles on-site advertising sign is there at the intersection of Providence and Green Meadows in the southwest corner of the lot. Shared access to this particular property and the Tacos for Life does exist, and that is where you see the common property line that does the zigzag as you get towards the south of the graphic. In 2013, this property was zoned CP, and actually the zoning predates that. significantly. There was a prior CP plan approved for this property for a steakhouse that never materialized, and then the steakhouse plan was revised in 2012 to accommodate the current MAGADOODLES, which was ultimately approved in 2013. There was also an SOI approved at that time specific to the MAGADOODLES site, and in which that SOI provided for the three on-site signs that are shown here in the red and the two green circles. There, as a part of the sales contract, as we have been informed, between MAGADOODLES and the current property owner of Tacos for Life, who is was the property owner of the overall tract, there was an agreement, separate and unbeknownst and unknown to the city, that the sign location in the northwest corner of the property was agreed to be able to be used for Lot 2 of the subsequent subdivision plat of Providence South Plaza, Plat 2. The use of the northern sign location, however, would be considered an off-premise advertising sign under our current code. And when approached by the applicant about the desire to be able to have signage for Tacos for Life, we informed them that the only means by which to either seek relief would be to amend the site plan, which required MAGADOODLES' consent, since it is on their property, and revision of this the SOI governing the site plan itself, or the option of going to the Board of Adjustment and seeking that an off-premise sign be permitted on the property. After significant conversation and a weighing of the facts of their ability to have a hardship to which a off-premise sign by the Board of Adjustment could be approved, and after review of the legal standards associated with signage specific to a plan development, it was concluded that the PD plan could be amended through the process that we are in at this point. Specifically, the CP and PD plan procedures allow for signage elements to be specified specific to a site. That is fully inclusive of stating in your statement of intent that we want an off-premise sign for an adjoining land use. So in preparing for this application, that was the guidance the applicant was offered. We obtained the appropriate authorization on behalf of MAGADOODLES to proceed with this utilizing the agency of the adjoining neighbor who was the former owner of the MAGADOODLES site and are here before you tonight. As I indicated, because this is a major amendment, we must amend not only the site plan, and the site plan would be essential to amend because we have to take and make notation on the site plan of the specific use of this sign location in the northwest corner. But we also have to modify the statement of intent because the statement of intent from 2013 included what could best be classified as maybe some made-up uses that don't comport with our current use list within the 2017 UDC. So both have been amended. Both have been presented to you as a part of the packet. The conversion of the sign that has not been presently built in that northwest corner to off-premise is seen as I explained, to be the most efficient manner. There were a couple of other discussions as it relates to potentially doing a quasi-shopping center sign, which would have required the MAGADOODLES' existing advertising sign be removed and reconstructed, the Board of Adjustment process, or we go through this. When we weighed all of the options, making a plan amendment seemed to make far more sense and was legal. The sign parameters for this sign in the north, even if it becomes off-premise, pursuant to the plan notations that are made on the CP or the PD plan, as well as what is contained in the statement of intent, will be identical to what was approved in 2013, meaning you have a maximum sign area of 64 square feet per sign face, which is consistent with what is permitted in the southwest corner, which is the MAGADOODLES' main sign, and a maximum height of 12 feet. So these are ground-mounted, in essence, monument-sized signs. The MAGADOODLES' sign, as many of you are probably aware, is a dual pylon sign in that southeast corner, southwest corner, that would still be permissible. It does not exceed the maximum allowed height, nor does it exceed the sign area. And those would be the two options. The plan's been fully revised. So that is one aspect. We had some updating of notes that we needed to make to be reflective of the change in 2017 from CP to PD. We also added the additional criteria as it associates with the use of the sign in the northwest corner of the property. The existing middle and southern signs are not changing. They have not been given any additional authorizations through the revision that's being sought. So they will be the same, and they will be governed just like they were in 2013 through this update. The SOI has been revised, as I indicated, to update the use list. We have scaled back uses that were considered inappropriate on the site given the commercial nature of how this property was intended to be used. So there were a number of uses taken out, but the commercial core uses that were initially intended for the property have been retained. Furthermore, the SOI specifically limits the use of the northwest sign exclusively to lot 2 of the Providence South Plaza plat 2. This is a critically important element due to the fact that we didn't want the Walmart on Grindstone advertising off of this sign as an off-premise sign, so we have tied it directly to the lot to which it is required that it's being used for. And furthermore, the amendment provides the opportunity for signage along the Providence corridor to be provided to what we would consider generally a second-tier parcel within the Providence South Plaza Plat 2 platting action. There is no way by which, due to height restrictions in our signage ordinance, that an advertising sign could be placed on the Tacos for Life property to accomplish what this plan amendment is proposing to do. Given the fact that signage heights are restricted based upon roadway classifications, Carter Lane does not qualify. Green Meadows, they already have a sign on, and therefore this particular option again came forward as being the best option to which to pursue. We're not adding any new uses to the SOI. We are not increasing any development potential of the proposed parcel for MacaDoodles through the amendment. The site will remain as it is improved today. Any major amendment, any further amendments to the site plan for MacaDoodles would require going back through a major amendment process similar to this, and they would be specific to the building or other site features that may exist today. Staff is not concerned that this is creating a situation and where precedent may be being set. This is unique to this particular property as a planned district and only because it is a planned district. Therefore, we should not and would never expect to see somebody seeking outside of a planned district without going to the Board of Adjustment a similar outcome, to have an off-premise sign on a property that is not associated with the business to which they are occupying or needing signage for. So we are recommending approval of the plan revision, taking care of identifying this northern northwest sign location to be utilized for off-premise advertising exclusively for lot 2 of the Providence South Plaza Plat 2 property, which is currently occupied by Tacos for Life, and it may be used by any future tenant of lot 2 should Tacos for Life vacate that property and structure. We also are recommending approval of the revised statement of intent that is consistent with the 2017 UDC standards. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Thank you. Before we go to questions for staff, if any of my fellow commissioners have had contact with parties to this case outside of a public hearing, please disclose so now. Seeing none, questions for staff. Commissioner Placer?
I realize that we seem to be limited for the location of that sign to be on that north point, but in terms of directing traffic toward Tacos for Life, especially if you're driving north on Providence, it's not great. I mean, it's, I guess, the best of a bad situation, but it's, and I guess it is technically legal, but it just doesn't make sense to me in terms of
placement of the sign as you are traveling northbound north of the intersection of Green Meadows. Yes, I can understand that. Considering that Carter Lane has access just beyond where the point is, that allows you to come back so you can make a right-hand turn after you've passed the intersection, and Tacos for Life does have a back entrance off of Carter to be able to get to it. So if you
say, whoops.
Yeah, I missed it. I passed by it. I can get back to it by making the turn on Carter.
Any other questions for staff? Seeing none, we'll open the floor to public hearing.
Good evening, Andy Green with Crockett Engineering. Our office is at 1000 West Nifong Boulevard, building number 1 here in Columbia. Well said, Pat, quite the mouthful and great explanation of the background history of this project. And basically this sign was always the intent of the original developer. With the subdivision in mind, creating the second tier lot, it was always a preference to have a sign up there to promote the business that would eventually go there. As we come to find out when we tried to start building the sign, we've got to do this amendment to add it to this PD plan. Happy to answer any questions, but essentially we're keeping the same size sign in the same location, just with a off-site.
Any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much. Anyone else from public to come and speak on this case?
Good evening, my name is Steve Wendling. My office is at 510 East Green Meadows Road, Suite 201. And I happen to be the original landowner that did the original platting. And the intent was at the same time, just as Mr. Zinner described, was to use that for the second tier lot. So don't have anything much more to say other than say why. If you had questions for the goofy guy that did this in the first place.
Thank you. Are there any questions for this speaker? Seeing none, thank you very much. Is there anyone else to speak on this case? Seeing none, we will close public hearing and go to commissioner comments. Is there any comments from the commissioners? Commissioner McMahon?
If my fellow commissioners have no other questions or concerns, I have a motion. In the matter of McAdoodle CP plan, a revision to the major revision to the CD plan and a revision to the SOI, case 126-2024, I move to approve.
Second.
Motion was made by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Commissioner Carroll, may we have a roll call?
Commissioner Galway-Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Placer?
No.
Commissioner Ford?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes.
Commissioner Lowe?
Yes.
Commissioner Stanton?
Yes.
Commissioner Dunn?
Yes.
Commissioner McMahon?
Aye.
My vote is yes. We have 8 yes and 1 no. The motion carries.
That recommendation will be forwarded to City Council. That completes our caseload for the evening. Are there any general public comments for the commission? Seeing none, staff comments.
So your next meeting will be May 9th. It'll begin with a standard work session where we'll continue our discussion as it relates to small lot use specific standards. And that will be followed by a regular 7 p.m. meeting. And we do have a number of items on the agenda. So after not having many, we all of a sudden have a lot. We will be bringing forward a 10-lot preliminary plat known as Springbrook North. This is just north of the Veterans United campus on Veterans United Drive, just east of the South Providence Medical Center. We also have then several public hearing subdivision related items, one that is a twofer. So at the bottom of that list, The first is a sidewalk waiver request and a final minor plat on Barbary Avenue. The second is a sidewalk waiver associated to a home that is seeking final plat approval through a separate platting action, but before we're going to take the plat forward, we are going to process the sidewalk waiver. And this is to divide a deep lot into a compliant, two compliant lots. One, the rear lot, being available for a ADU. So this particular sidewalk waiver request is not on the Broadway frontage. The lot already has a sidewalk on Broadway. It is on their side street, which, if I am not incorrect, is Greenwood. So the lot that would be created behind the principal home, which sits a substantial distance back from Broadway, would be accessed off of Greenwood and would otherwise be compliant, provided the sidewalk, it would be compliant regardless from a platting perspective, but they are seeking to have the sidewalk requirement waived, given that there is no other sidewalk on Greenwood in this particular area. The last two items here under the public hearings and subdivisions are the twofer. The first request is a permanent zoning. This is immediately south of what is currently known as Richland Estates. It is a piece of property containing roughly 19 or so acres, if I recall correctly, that was in the county at the time and under different ownership when we did Richland Estates, which is a very large residential development at the corner of Richland and Olivet. They're seeking permanent zoning from County AR, which is their agricultural residential district, to our city R1, which is what the current Richland Estates is zoned. So that is the permanent zoning side of this. And then the accompanying preliminary plat is a revision to the existing Richland Estates preliminary plat to add in this additional acreage and to recalibrate the size of the lots within Richland Estates. The lots that were relatively large lots initially proposed, we are looking at a different diversity of lots that would include larger lots gradating down to a smaller sized lot that's still consistent with the R1 zoning district, and a slight revision to the overall road network that is within the proposed subdivision. And the final item is a rezoning request off of St. Charles Road, which was formerly occupied by a mobile home park, which has been formally and properly closed in accordance to the state statutory requirements at 5301. This is a rezoning request from R1. It was a legally non-compliant mobile home park to RMF. It is surrounded by a variety of different county zoning districts, some of which are commercial in nature, and then on the north side of the property towards the interstate, this property has some depth off of St. Charles Road, but is separated by another parcel that has frontage off of I-70 Drive southeast, is zoned commercially as well. So this particular zoning would be almost considered a little bit of a transition zone. But given the configuration of the property, the applicant was seeking the RMF designation. So you can become familiar with where all of our sites are. There is our Springbrook North project there at the intersection of State Farm Parkway and Veterans United Drive, just northwest of the roundabout. Our property that's off of Barbary, which is just to the east of our Gibbs Road property that we recently rezoned. And then the West Broadway property there on Glenwood. Greenwood, I apologize, Greenwood. And then our property that we are proposing to do permanent zoning on that's currently in the county, the overall Richland Estates property with the annexed parcel included now, and then finally our property that's off of St. Charles Road. Those are your cases, and that is the agenda as it stands at this point for your May 9th meeting. I appreciate your attention this evening and your input. We will be back with some additional use-specific standards on May 9 at 5:30 p.m.
Thank you. Are there any commissioner comments for the evening? Commissioner McMahon.
Just real quick, and then I'll make a motion. We can go home. Pat, the St. Charles property. That's where all we got all of those overlapping oddball city and county zonings, and they're real small and they conflict with down. We need to chat. You and I need to chat about that sometime. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I move to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn was made by Commissioner McMahon, seconded by Commissioner Stanton. Without objection, we stand adjourned.